Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And a hearty bon appetito to you.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send stuff. You say, what is stuff? I say, if it is wretched, we want it. That's right, in a non-sinful way, we are coveting when you run across something that is hoo-hoo or ooh. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org if you prefer to text? Acknowledging Jimmy can't text back because our equipment is from 1912. You can do so at 877-282-2337.
So why did you say bon appetit?
Because
is it lunchtime?
When are you going to learn how thoughtful I am?
You are thoughtful. I told you the other day.
Let me tell you how thoughtful I am. We are thrilled to pieces to be on FM 89.3 Katba. K-A-T. Cat. I just saw a video pop. It was one of those ads that pops up before you watch the video. Do you remember how intrusive and annoying that used to be? Now we've just been beaten to a pulp. Whatever, play your video. I'll hit skip as soon as I possibly can. This was a young lady, looked like a university student because, well, she was a university student. I don't know what the product was, but she said, I love cats. In fact, I study cats. I'm majoring, get ready for this, cats in art. So she studies all of the paintings throughout the centuries that had a cat in them. Now, while I might think it's ridiculous, we all know for certain that her job security is rock solid, isn't it? Because what you can do with a degree about cats in art. Katba, K-A-T-B, thank you very much in Anchorage, Alaska for having us on at lunchtime.
Ah,
see what I'm doing here?
I see being now.
But if you're in Anchorage, we are thrilled to pieces to be coming out of your speaker. Now, send us stuff. Was that a little too aggressive? idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
So I'm going to tell you to speak for yourself on getting accustomed and used to the videos or the pop-ups before the videos. I pay YouTube. I can't do it.
Oh, wow. What does that cost you?
$10 a month.
Wow, you hate ads.
I do.
No, it's $10.
It is. It's actually about $15, but I get a deal through my cell phone company. It's an add-on, so it's only $10 through them.
Well, now it sounds like you're practically making money. Well, they because it's ad revenue. You know, they pay people for the videos. If they can't show the ads, they can't make the money,
right.
They ain't going to lose money.
That's exactly
right. YouTube plant.
Yeah.
Wow. Intriguing. It's your cell phone company?
Yeah. But the one that I pay a lot of money to.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're getting that for a bargain. That's, you know what we need to, it's the cable thing that is so expensive. And I'm just too dumb to figure out a cheaper method. It drives me bonkers though. Well, there's plenty of times where it's like, why are we paying this?
It used to be, when the streaming services first started, it was like, oh, well, we don't watch all this cable stuff. It's kind of a la carte. You know, you get what you watch. Now you're paying just as much doing that as you would be
through cable TV.
Yeah, that's right.
And but is the service as caustic? Because, wow, getting stuff out of our cable provider. 877-282-2337.
This is from Andrea. Todd, how can we aim not to distract others in worship services when we can't read minds of the congregation and actually know what distracts them?
Well, if you're doing anything other than standing there or sitting there, it is a potential distraction and you should be mindful of it. I think it's, you should worship freely, but I think just to love your neighbor, read the room. Is this the type of place where they do that? Am I being unusual in anything that my gestures, I'm raising hands, you're amening, whatever it is, none of which I believe is sinful, but if it's causing people to be distracted, well, then you might want to work on it. Maybe refrain or explain to people why you do what you do, because you just want to be thoughtful of others. Having said that, without taking a breath, the people who are getting agitated need to work on not being annoyed with you. It's a two-way street in church. This applies to how we worship crying babies. There's another big one. Both parties need to be working toward the other party feeling loved. So if you got a baby who squawks a lot, be loving and deal with the child. If you're in the congregation and there's somebody with a squawking baby, be loving and patient and don't give them the tisk-tisk and the, you know, the look like, when are we going to get to the, you know how, especially the turnaround look. That's a powerful one, isn't it? When you have to like look back, who's got that child? It's a two-way street in the church and the street is called love. Okay, that made me feel kind of creepy. I'll be honest with you. 877-282-2337.
So along the same lines, this is a text from...
Do you ever amen in church? Do you have a problem if somebody amens in church?
I do not have a problem.
I don't either.
I actually, when I'm preaching, I prefer it.
Oh, it's great affirmation.
Yeah.
But you know, even something like that, it can be genuine and it can be a show.
Right.
Because I don't know what's going on in their hearts. Okay, I do. But if somebody amens because it's like, amen, that was good. That's one sort of amen. The other amen is, amen, brother. As if you're maybe trying to get some of the attention. Raising hands. Do you do the hand raising business?
I don't.
You got a problem with people who do?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I think people should be free as long as it's, you know, not driving anybody bonkers. And we both need to bend. Being thoughtful of one another. That is why church is the fertilizer of sanctification. Because people are so agitating. And I know that because I know me. And I'm super annoying. And people have to put up with me. Yikes. They have to love me. And vice versa. And together we all become more Christ-like. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is from Ray. He texted in. It's kind of in the same realm. He says, Todd, I'm originally from New York, so cowboy hats weren't a thing. I noticed a few men wear them in my church in Florida. Feels weird to me. I also dislike it when people stand to sing with coffee in one hand. Seems disrespectful.
See, I was able to sound really superior regarding the cowboy hats. Dude, it's, you know, people are going to wear a cowboy hat. No big deal. Coffee? Coffee in the sanctuary? Are you kidding me? Let's take it one at a time, shall we? Should a man wear a hat in the church? What's the custom? Now, wearing a cowboy hat in Florida, knock yourself out outside of the church. But you've got to ask yourself the question, because I don't think there is a biblical mandate about wearing a hat in the church. Now, culturally, it's shifted, hasn't it? Women used to quite regularly wear hats into church. Men always taking them off. If you want to make a case biblically that a man shouldn't, a woman should, that's fine. If that's the culture of your church, then I will abide by that. If you're a cowboy hat wearer, what is the custom inside of the church? If you don't see another guy doing it, you should probably just take it off. Don't need to be wearing a hat. Why? Because we are considerate of one another. There's a long history about head coverings, and gets a little tricky, but I think that I would kind of, with this issue, I would land with, what is the church cultural norm? Be considerate of that. As for the coffee, I think that here's a question. To the person who thinks that I'm going to be a legalist, you're going to slap the Pharisee card on me because I don't think coffee has any place in the sanctuary. Let me ask you a question. If I roll Sunday morning, it's about 5 minutes till the service, and I roll in a cotton candy machine, plug it, sit in the place where I can plug it into the wall. And then during the service, I swirl myself some cotton candy, sit there and pick at it. You okay with that? Or might you go, hey, dude, that's distracting. And shouldn't you be focusing on what's happening and what you're participating in? Bingo! With coffee. I know that the cotton candy thing is maybe a little bit more extreme, but it's the same principle. What are we doing in there? Have we forgotten the privilege? Have we forgotten what Jesus has provided for us so that we can sing to God? We get to sing to God. And by the way, we're the only species that does that. We set music to poetry, the highest form of communication there is, with glorious music, hopefully glorious music. That is our privilege. We get to hear the word of God proclaimed from above. We get to hear the word of God read. We get to witness the gospel and baptisms and the Lord's Supper. What are we doing there? It is an honor and a privilege, and it demands and deserves our full attention. And you can't give it that when you're slurping a cup of Java. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission? Well, it takes resources, and that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory and His glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who knew I was doing a program with Tevya? This is Wretched Radio. Tradition is a big thing for one handsome Jimmy Hicks. I'm talking about the cowboy hat business.
Well, yeah, just any hat in general. In church, I don't have a problem with anybody wearing a hat in the sanctuary, but I am going to look at you a little sideways if you leave it on when we pray.
All right. This will be totally futile, but that's what we specialize in here. Go to the AI machine and ask AI what Old and New Testament verses say that a man should or shouldn't wear a head covering in church or in the temple. And let's just see what the Bible says about head coverings, because
I don't think it's a debated subject. Yeah.
And that's why I kind of just come down on what is the, I'll say, a tradition of the church. You just don't want to be doing things that cause people to be distracted and agitated. We are there to do a lofty work, and I do not want to detract from that for anybody. 877-282-2337. That's the text machine. If you stumble across something wretched, please send it to idea@wretched.org. And by the way, if you're yelling right now at your radio about the head coverings or the coffee business, send us a note, please. Jimmy's happy to learn. He doesn't get everything right. So help him. Please help him. Did you find it already? Did he do it?
Yeah. I've got them both.
So fast. All right.
So Exodus 28 and Exodus 39.
That's Old Testament. Doesn't count.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
So... do you want me to read it?
Sure.
These are the garments that they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, and a sash. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother.
That's for priestly garb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where it's at.
All right. And then, but, well, we got to understand the context.
Right.
And the context is that was the uniform of the priest.
That's right.
Doesn't necessarily apply to everybody else. You know what else is an interesting history? The history of the yarmulke. I think, because I remember hearing somebody discuss this regarding Ben Shapiro, who regularly wears a yarmulke, that the yarmulke was not something that men wore until like the 3rd or 4th century after Jesus. So that is it. That's a newer trend. All right, what other verses do you have there?
1 Corinthians 11.
Women in hats.
Well,
head coverings.
But it says prior to that, 1 Corinthians 11, 4 through 7, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God.
Oh, am I regretting asking you to do this? Because that's such a contested section of Scripture.
It is.
And that's why I prefer reading the Bible and going, that's the deal right there. Recognizing how contested those verses are, I'm comfortable. I don't dig it, but I can live with, follow the cultural norms of your church, because you just don't want to do things that distract people. All right. So here's your homework. This is going to get a little complicated for you.
Okay.
If you would kindly share with us the next text or email. And whilst I'm yammering away, would you please use the AI machine to ask for the history of yarmulkes?
Okay.
Do you know how to spell yarmulke?
I'm going to sound it out phonetically.
You're not going to get it. All right.
All right. So the next question, this is from Naomi. Todd, I am 13, and I have really been struggling with anxiety and assurance of my personal faith. I'm mostly scared that I was never truly repentant or that it was me tricking myself into believing that I'm saved. The fear has been nagging at me for a very long time, and nothing I've done to try and end it seems to work. I have talked to solid believers, read my Bible, prayed constantly about it, but I'm still terrified. I also wonder if I'm truly saved, because I struggle with keeping my temper and being truthful, among other things.
Yeah. Struggle is a great word in the conversation about assurance, because that is one of the sure signs you actually are saved, because unbelievers, they don't struggle because they don't care. So you care. That is an awesome sign that you actually are saved. Those who are unregenerate do not concern themselves with such matters. The Puritans affirmed this regularly, repeatedly, again and again, that if you care that you might not be saved, that is one of the sure signs you actually are saved. And then they would warn, if you don't care about the status of your soul, be afraid, be very afraid. So I would start with that. But second of all, I would suggest that you, okay, second and third, start listening to preaching that is going to help you with this subject. Go to the YouTube machine and type in this, Milton Vincent, just like it sounds, Milton Vincent. It's spelled just like yarmulke. You got that sorted yet over there? Well, I didn't have to correct you.
We corrected me. Yarmulke? Sure.
Yeah. Look for Milton Vincent justification. Milton Vincent justification. He wrestled with this issue when he was young. And it was when he discovered, like fully opened up the doctrine of justification, that his fears started to abate. They just recede, abate. They went away because he understood that it's not his performance that keeps him in the kingdom. It doesn't get you in, and it lack thereof won't kick you out, nor will great performance keep you in, because the reality is our performance, it's really not so great, but his salvation is. So listen to preaching that talks about the attributes of God's patience, his kindness, his love, his mercy, his forbearance, so that you can recognize that God, he's so slow to anger. He's so patient with us. Consider these words of Jesus. These are some of the most tender words in the Bible. There's two, Matthew chapter 27, 28. The disciples have scattered. They were being a little cowardly. The women were braver, although their threat, in fairness, wasn't as great as the threat for men that they might be executed too, just like their rabbi. So the women are told by the angel, the women are told by Jesus to go to the apostles. In other words, the women were the apostles to the apostles. The instruction was from the angel, tell them to go to Galilee. No, was it Jesus who said, tell them to go to Galilee as promised, either the angel or Jesus. The point is, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus had told them the night that he instituted the Lord's table, meet me in Galilee after my resurrection. And so imagine you're the disciples. You've been cowardly. You're scattered. And the word comes to you that Jesus said, the plan is still on. The plan is still on. Meet me there. How might you have felt? Oh, okay. All right. He still wants to see us. But maybe your mind might go into darker directions and go, is he going to like really excoriate us for our cowardly behavior? Is he going to undress us for this? Because, wow, we really blew it on this big time. But then Jesus says, tell them, my brothers, tell my brothers, those two, my brothers. Oh, how they must have felt when the women said, he told me to tell his brothers. Oh, and I'll bet their minds hearken back to Genesis, with Joseph calling his trembling brothers, my brothers, as words of comfort, as words of kindness. Oh, what a savior to be that good. I mean, he really could have come at him. Hey, fisher boys, you couldn't quite handle the heat, huh? Thanks for sticking around. Okay, didn't do that. Plan on. Tell my brothers. That's your savior. That's your savior. Even when you lose your temper, as you claim that you do, your savior would say, my sister, cast your cares on me. Take it to me. I'll help you. I'll grow you. I understand. I really do. Been there. I was 13. I get it. And I'll help you with it because I'm a kindly savior and I'm a good savior. I'm benevolent, long-suffering, meek. My burden, it's light because I'm gentle. I'm lowly at heart. So you go to that Jesus every time you sin. Every time you sin, you go to that savior. You cast your cares upon him. You cast your sins on him, and you have his promise. If you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, he will by no means cast you out. Nobody will snatch you from his hands. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Repeat that verse. Memorize that verse. And let it increasingly give you confidence so that you can be a bold witness for the King who is so patient and loving with you. Jimmy,
yes.
What do you got with the history of the Yarmulke?
It's got an R in it. But
Yarmulke.
Yeah. So it appears as originally as pious practice, but then it in the 7th to 11th century, it becomes more normative.
Even later than I thought.
Yeah.
So the head covering that you see guys like Benjamin, that's tradition is what that is. So he is closer to Tevye. We want to honor tradition. So when you go to now let's just say you go to Florida in Paraguay, if there is one, and everybody's wearing a cowboy hat, then you know what I would do? I'd put one on. This is Wretched Radio.